Good morning. It is amazing to be here today. You know what? I love our congregation here. I love it. Have you ever been to a church before and you go in, you're visiting and stuff like that, and everybody just kind of looks at you kind of weird in the back? They don't come up. They don't say hello to you. They don't say, where are you from or how are you doing or anything like that. We are truly blessed, brethren, that we don't have that type of congregation here. We're a very welcoming congregation. We're a very loving congregation, and I am very proud to say that I'm a member of the Port Hueneme Church of Christ. Last time I preached on the Universal Church. Hopefully it was clear. I'm not quite sure how clear it was, but hopefully the points were made and it got across. This week, I am going to be preaching on what I told my grandpa was the local congregation. Well, actually, what I'm going to be preaching on, it's the same scripture reading and everything, but it's really our attitude in the local assembly is what I'm going to be talking about today. We do a lot of things in our worship service, and really, I think it's important that we pay attention to why are we doing these things? How am I acting when I'm doing these things? What is my reasoning behind it? Why do I feel the way that I feel? So, our singing today was pretty good until John started yelling at everybody. But our singing was good today, would you all agree? It was amazing that we're able to lift our voices in praise to God. Isn't that a great thing that we are able to do? And not only that, it is something that we're commanded to do. If you turn with me, please, to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and verse 19. In Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 19, it says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Now, we have a small congregation, but we got some power. We got some people that sing. We're not singing, walking in sunlight, all of my journey, over the mountain, through the deep veil. Jesus said, I'll never forsake thee, promise thee vine that can never can fail. That is not the way that we're singing. We are to have some. Remember when I taught class last time, I taught on zeal. Are we zealful when we are singing? Why are we singing? We are singing and lifting our voices to praise God, to lift him up high, to say, you know what, I am serving you, Lord, and the reason why I'm singing this is because I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you give me the abilities that you give me. And then not only that, but the reason why we're singing is to uplift one another, right? To make each other be ready to hear the word of God, to make each other lift up, to pull us out. Have you ever heard, I mean, me personally, whenever I hear someone that's really good at singing, and it doesn't really put me in a sad mood or a bad mood. It usually is pretty uplifting, especially when we're singing these spiritual songs. These songs, we're not singing Jingle Bells. Right? We're not singing Jingle Bells. We're singing songs that were written and composed with the intention of bringing praise to God. We're singing these songs to build each other up, to lift each other up, to edify one another. That's what we are doing. We're singing to edify one another. Like I said, we're zealful when we're doing this. There's a pizzazz, there's a sharpness, there's a love that I am singing with. It's not dull. It's not with no power. It's not with no heart. It's not that I'm not paying attention to anything. Pay attention to the words as we sing them. What do they mean? And not only that, but when we're singing these songs, do they have any effect on you? Do they have effect on your heart? Great. Joy. We have joy that we're able to do this. We have joy that we're able to lift our praises to the Lord. We have joy that we're able to uplift one another, that we're able to edify one another. As I said, we are not singing Jingle Bells. We're singing songs that are for the purpose of uplifting one another and bringing praise to God. If you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and verse 15. It says, what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my understanding. Also, I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my understanding also. So when we're saying these things, are we truly examining? I jumped a little ahead of myself, but are we truly understanding what we are doing when we're lifting our voices in praise to God? We understand that We use our voices to express our love. We are shouting it. We are singing it. We are making melody in our heart. That means that our heart is joyful, that we're doing it for the edification of one another, that we are singing, again, with our voices. This is an audible sound. We're not sitting there humming. We're not humming, you know, psalms or anything like that. We're singing with our voices. In Psalm, the 51st chapter, in verse 14, it says, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness." That's what we are doing. We are singing loudly. We are singing aloud with of his righteousness. Now, think about it. What's our attitude when we are singing? Are we paying attention to the words? I know I just said that, but are we paying attention to the purpose of what we are doing? Are we examining ourselves as we sing? Are we thinking that this truly is pleasing to God? I think all too often, and I'll hit on this again, but I think all too often what happens is we get so used to the day-to-day. You know, I've been coming to church for pretty much my whole life, and it's easy for things to become routine. It's so easy to just not really take a second look at it or to second guess it or anything like that. It's just, oh, this is just something that I do every Sunday. That is not the attitude to have, brethren. The attitude to have is that I am understanding why I am doing this. I understand why I'm singing, and into the next point, partaking of the Lord's Supper. We do this because it is a memorial of Christ. We're doing a couple things when we are partaking of the Lord's Supper, but if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 23 through 25, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said to me, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So we're partaking the Lord's Supper just because it's something that we have to do. No, we're doing it to remember Christ. And it's not just remembering, oh, yep, Jesus said this stuff and he instituted the Lord's Supper. You know, I love Patrick's Lord's, what he said on the table today. And we think that it's not just these words, it's his life, it's what he did. It's the sacrifice that he made. How Patrick said earlier, how scared do you think he must have been? Because he knew what was coming. And the fact of the matter is, we do this because we remember him. And not only do we remember him, but we are making a proclamation. I'm jumping ahead of myself, excuse me. So the bread represents his broken and bruised body, and the fruit of the vine represents his blood. If you turn with me to Matthew, the 26th chapter and verse 28, it says, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." We must recognize that since we have the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, since he made himself a man, came down, lived the perfect life, went through this sacrifice, that I too can have forgiveness of sins. And the fact of the matter is, this is a focal point of our worship, and we must recognize that when we're partaking of these emblems, that we are making a proclamation. The proclamation we make is in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That his death was for the remission of our sins, that he paid the price for us. There's nothing that I would ever be able to do to make up for the bad that I have done. There's nothing that any of us could do to make up for the bad. It could only have come for Christ. The only reason why we have any hope in life at all is because of Christ. The only reason why there is a point to life at all is because of Christ. And I think that when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, that's not stuff that we're really thinking about. Is that our attitude about it when we're taking part in the Lord's Supper? Are we joking? Are we making faces at each other? Are we doing this, that, and the other? Are we thinking about anything that we possibly can? What am I going to have for lunch after I get out of church? Is that what our mindset is on? Are we taking this as serious as it needs to be taken? Are we truly focused on these emblems? We need to examine ourselves, brethren, because I can speak for myself. Sometimes there's so much going on in my life. There's so much that I'm focused on that I'm not focused on what truly matters. And that is the death of Christ, and that he loved me so much that he gave himself for me. It is a time for reflection. When we're taking the Lord's Supper, it is a time for us to reflect on ourselves. Am I living a life that is in thankfulness to him? Am I living a life that is devoted to him? Am I living a life that is loving to him? We need to examine ourselves because there was such a price that was paid for you. As I stated before, there is nothing in this world that we could ever do to repay the debt. He paid it for us. It is not a time to be joking around. It is a time to be thankful. It is a time to show gratitude. All the disrespect that he went through, he did nothing to with what happened to him. He did nothing wrong. Being humiliated, being spit upon, being beaten, having people making fun of him and stuff like that. He did nothing wrong. And he went through all of that for me. If that doesn't strike your heart, I don't know what will. And the thing is, when we're doing this, when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, even in Scripture, it tells us how serious we are to take this. If you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and verse 29. It says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." We must make sure that we are thinking about how thankful we are because of this sacrifice, that we are discerning that this is what his body and his blood means to me. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and verse 28, it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So again, am I living a life that is in thankfulness because of this sacrifice? Am I paying attention to what we are doing when we are partaking of the Lord's Supper? How's our attitude when we're giving? John mentioned it a little bit earlier. But aren't we so incredibly blessed? Aren't we? We are blessed beyond belief, you guys. If you think of what, the technology and the things that have come, 200-300 years ago, people weren't living in houses where they get to go up and be like, "Oh, it's cold, let me crank up the heat." They weren't living that way. Do you think that the apostles and everybody in the biblical times were living in the way that we were? Of course not. We are truly blessed for what we have. And all too often, what happens is we end up being unthankful. There's so much we have. We take for granted all of the luxuries that we have, but we need to realize that the reason why we have what we have is because of one thing. It's because God has blessed us with it. We have been incredibly blessed in all things, not only spiritual blessings, but also physical blessings that the Lord wants us, that it has afforded us, that lets us. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, verses 1 and 2. That's 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you are also to do. On the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and to store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come." So all what happens is, we go through the week and we go to our jobs and we do this and we, maybe we get a decent paycheck. But when it comes to giving, we're... I forgot my wallet at home. Or, I got this and I'm supposed to give this much, but I kind of wanted that new Xbox or that new TV and, do it. Are you giving in proportion to the Lord? And furthermore, what's our attitude when we're giving it? Are we happy that, these monies are used for furthering the gospel, for supporting our local congregation, for supporting the needy saints? Is that the mind that we have? Are we paying attention, or is that just, oh, that's mine? That's my money. Is that the viewpoint that we have on it? And now I'm not saying, of course, you know, everybody's to give as they are prospered. I'm not saying that anybody's going to be over hitting you over the head with the collection plate. No one's doing that. You know what you can give. No one's wanting to put you in some financial burden or anything like that. But make sure of this, that when you are, if you're sitting there and you're budgeting, you need to be budgeting for giving money to the church. That's a for sure thing. And not only that, but we are to give cheerfully. We're to be excited about giving. We're to be excited and happy about that these monies are going to be used to spread the gospel, to take care of the local congregation here. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 6 through 7. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. So if we're not giving cheerfully, is that the right way to do it? Is God loving what you're giving out if you're not doing it by love? If you're not giving it cheerfully? In all that we do, we should be giving cheerfully. Right? Bear with me, I lost my spot. Yeah, so we're not upset and we're not to be upset or reluctant when we're giving to the church, right? We're to be happy that we are doing it. And we have to realize that the reason why we have these blessings and the reason why I even have anything that I have at all is because God is the one that blessed it to me. Do we really sit there and think about it, or is it, it's me. It's because of me. I'm the one that did that. God blesses us with abilities, and God blesses us with opportunities, and if you can't see that, I think you got another thing coming. Coming together. There are places in the world currently where Christians are being persecuted. And persecuted means they're being killed. They're being thrown in prison. And I know I did a little bit of research because it's been like, yeah, I've heard that a lot. No, there is actually places in the world right now where if you are practicing praising God, that you're thrown in jail, that you're killed. You know, we're very lucky that we live in the country that we live in. Anybody can say about where this country's headed or what have you, but we still are able to gather together. We are still gathered together. And again, Christians are being persecuted, yet they are still coming to church in other parts of the world. Some of us can't even be bothered to show up on time, if at all. Are we taking that seriously? Is this something that, you know what, I need to have this in my spiritual life? I need to get my batteries recharged, if you will. I need my batteries recharged. I want to spend time with brethren. I want to edify with each other. I want to sing and lift praises to God's name, and I want to study his word. Is that what's in our mind? Or are we just, you know what, I came to church, but the only reason I came to church was because I didn't want Mason and John and Patrick calling me saying, hey, where are you at? Are you okay? We missed you at church today. If that's the mindset that you have for coming to church, there's no point because your heart's not in it. If you turn with me, please, to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 25. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Neglect is a failure to care for properly. Are we neglecting God? Are we neglecting our spiritual walk? Because if you're not caring for it properly, it's not going to be healthy, and it's not what God commands that we give it. We need to be giving with everything that we have, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our being. You know, I remember when COVID was going on. when COVID was going on and we were, you know, meeting over Zoom, if you will. Christians were meeting over Zoom, and I remember that there was someone that brought up, you know, I have trouble, and I feel bad that I'm able to go to the grocery store, but I'm not able to come to church. Are we still of that same persuasion? Are we still of the same persuasion that I need to be here? That I have to be here? You know, we talked about singing, right? How am I supposed to lift my voice and praise to God and edify if I'm not here? I think what we, now don't take it out of context, you guys. Now, I understand that there are reasons that people cannot come to church, that people are sick or something's going on where they physically do not have the capability of coming to church. I'm not saying that it's a blanket statement. But I think we all need to examine ourselves and what is our attitude towards the things that we do. What is our attitude towards singing? What is our attitude towards partaking of the Lord's Supper? What is our attitude towards partaking or giving? You know, what is our attitude about coming to church? I think it's important that we evaluate ourselves. Are we truly happy and blessed that we are here today? Are we truly happy and blessed that we're able to lift praises in God's name? Are we truly happy and blessed that we get to give to the collection to further the gospel, to support our local congregation here? We need to make sure that we're not just thinking of any excuse to not come to church, to not do these things. You know, it's been said that sometimes a snail crosses the front of your house right there and you're like, oh, I can't go to church now. That's not the mindset that we are to have, brethren. We need to be doing anything that we possibly can in order to come and meet together. And the great thing is if we do these things in the right manner, if we are singing the praises and we are giving and we are studying and we are coming together and we're doing these all in the right reasons because we have the love in our heart and we want to uplift one another and we want to sing praises and bring praise to God's name, our worship is accepted by him. And isn't that what we're wanting to be? We're wanting to be praising him and that our praise is acceptable to him, that we are lifting him up. I think we are lucky. I really do. That we have the congregation that we do here. But the fact of the matter is, with brother, grandpa, I'm going to call him grandpa. Grandpa or dad, you know, I love them and everything like that, and they have taught me so much, but at the end of the day, my attitude is on me. I can sit here and make up stuff or not be truthful with them. Not saying that I am, but you can not be truthful. And from all intents and purposes, I could look like a great Christian from the outside, but there's no lying to God, brother. There's no lying to him. He knows your heart, and he knows if your praise and your attitude is the right way that it can be. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And do you believe that not only is he the Son of God, that, you know what, he deserves all the praise that I can give him. He deserves every last bit of me. Will you repent? That is, you know what, I'm evaluating, and when I go through the Lord's Supper, or when I'm singing, or when I came here, I'm just not doing it the right way. Will you readjust? Will you repent and say, you know what, I'm changing my ways. I'm going to have my mind focused on Christ. Will you confess that his name is the sweetest name that's ever been named, that he, Jesus Christ, is the Son of the living God, and will you be baptized for the remission of your sins? Won't you come while together we stand and sing?